Good evening, church, and welcome back to our Wednesday night study of Christian theology. Last week, we began looking at the doctrine of angels, and we talked about the names and nature of angels. So we talked about the definition of what an angel is, how angels are designated in the Bible, and how angels are described in the Bible. This week, we want to talk about what angels do. Not just what they're called and what they're like, but what they do. And so we want to see God's purpose for angels. Now, first of all, I want you to see that their distinction with men, angels being different from men, demonstrates God's special plan for human beings. Now, how are angels different from men? Well, first of all, angels are not mentioned to be made in the image of God like men are. When God created Adam and Eve, when God created man, he created man in his own image, in the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. This is not said of angels. They can at times appear in human-like bodies, but they are not human, not made in the image of God. Nevertheless, though angels are not made in the image of God, angels are temporarily made higher than men. That is, men are temporarily made lower than angels. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 7, which is quoting Psalm 8:5, "You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and with honor," said of Jesus and mankind, he becoming man. Now, we see also that saved men are served by angels, and will one day judge angels. The Bible tells us this in Hebrews 1:14, that the angels, are they not ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? Now notice that they're sent out to serve for the sake of those who inherit salvation. Who are these? These are believers. These are the redeemed humans. These are God's saints that are served by angels, sent by God to serve those inheriting salvation. In 1 Corinthians and chapter 6 and verse 3 says, "Do you not know that we are to judge angels? How much more then matters pertaining to this life?" If we're to judge angels, aren't we to make judgments in this life? We see also that angels, unlike men, angels do not relate in marriage, nor do they naturally reproduce. God made all the angels he was going to make when he made angels in the first place. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 30, "In the resurrection," Jesus says, people neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. In Luke, we repeat this in Luke chapter 20, verses 34 through 36. Jesus said to them, "The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they cannot die anymore because they are equal to angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection." So the angels don't seem that they marry. They don't naturally reproduce. Angels were not like humans, in that angels, when they sinned, did not receive grace. There was no rescue plan to save angels. God didn't become an angel in order to save angels, like he did to become a human to save humans. Angels were not shown grace. Their sin was not atoned. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, "If God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until the judgment. So when they sinned, they were cast into hell. Jude 6. The angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. And this is where it gets to it in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 16. For it tells us, for surely it is not angels that Jesus helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. He's come to save man, and he's become man to save man. He did not come as an angel to save angels. 1 Peter 1:12, it was revealed to them, that is angels, that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things into which angels long to look. Things in which angels, the prophet spoke about things in which angels now long to look. Luke 15:10, just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So they're amazed. The angels are amazed at this grace that has come to sinners, that he redeems them in Christ. They're amazed at this plan of salvation, and they rejoice in it. Angels remind us, secondly, that the unseen world is real. So first of all, we talked about angels being showing this special place of humans in this distinction. But angels likewise remind us that the unseen world is real, that there is a whole dimension, a whole spiritual world that we do not see, that God and his hosts exist. Acts 23:8. The Sadducees say that there's no resurrection, nor angel, nor spirit, but the Pharisees acknowledged them all. The Sadducees denied that there was this spiritual, supernatural realm. 2 Kings 6:17. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, his servant, and saw, behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Now, he didn't know that they were there previously. He wasn't aware of what reality was there. His eyes were closed to that. So angels remind us that the unseen world is real. If we're to believe the Bible, we must believe in the existence of angels. Angels are likewise examples to us. So they are examples to us. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, the Lord tells us to pray, and that we're to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, O Lord, on earth as it is in heaven. So as the angels worship God in heaven, we are to worship God here on earth. Isaiah 6:3, one angel called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. And we likewise should magnify the glory of God like the angels. We should praise God's name and his holiness as the angels do. We get a glimpse into this worship in Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders and the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. So they're examples to us. They remind us that the unseen world is real. Angels are distinction with men, demonstrate God's special plan for humans. And moreover, angels carry out some of God's plans. What are some of these plans that angels carry out that we see in the Bible? Well, they bring God's messages to people. We said that the word in Hebrew and the word in Greek that mean angel simply means messenger. So they bring God's messages to people. In Luke chapter 1, verses 11 through 19, there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense, and Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." So the angel announces the birth of John the Baptist to an old barren couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth. Now we see in Acts chapter 8 and verse 26, the angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go to the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And what we know is that he meets there the Ethiopian eunuch, and he gets to baptize the eunuch after explaining to him the meaning of Isaiah. We see moreover in Acts chapter 10, verses 3 through 8, about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, "Cornelius." And he stared at him in terror and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simeon, who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea." So Cornelius, a Gentile, sends some of his servants to Joppa to get Simon Peter, who is staying with a tanner named Simon. And he comes, and he's directed to do so by a holy angel. In fact, Acts 10 and verse 22 tells us about this. They said, "Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man, who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say." Again in Acts, in chapter 27, verses 23 through 24, "This very night there stood before me an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I worship, and he said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you all of those who sail with you.'" So Paul is able to save those who are shipwrecked at sea because he has been given a message from God sent to him by an angel. Nevertheless, we must be very careful, not looking for angelic doctrine, not looking for angelic messages. Be careful to test, and knowing that false doctrine, or the Bible at least warns us of falsities that could come from angels. Galatians 1:8. Paul says, "Even if we or an angel from heaven should speak to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let that person be accursed." That's an accursed angel who teaches a different gospel. 2 Corinthians 11:4. "If someone comes and proclaims another Jesus from the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough," he says of them. Angels not only bring God's messages to people, angels carry out some of God's judgments. For instance, angels brought a plague on Israel. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, verses 16 and 17, "When the angel stretched out his hand towards Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord relented from the calamity and said to the angel who was working destruction among the people, 'It is enough. Now stay your hand.' Likewise, in destroying the leaders of the Assyrian army, in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse 21, "And the Lord sent an angel who cut off all the mighty warriors and commanders and officers in the camp of the king of Assyria," that is Sennacherib, we know. "So he returned with shame of face to his own land. And when he came into the house of his God, some of his own sons struck him down there with the sword." An angel struck King Herod dead for his blasphemy. In Acts chapter 12, verse 23, "Immediately an angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not give God the glory. and he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. God used this angel to bring judgment upon King Herod. And an angel poured out bowls of wrath upon the earth in Revelation 16:1. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple telling the seven angels, go and pour out the earth the seven bowls of the wrath of God. So angels are bringing about, are carrying out some of God's judgments. Angels were joining with Christ in the returning triumphant army of the Lord. Matthew 16:27. For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. In Luke chapter 9, verse 26, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Likewise, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7, to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. And so when Jesus comes back a second time, he will come with his angels. Angels likewise patrol the earth as God's representatives, as God's ambassadors and protectors. Zechariah chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. So the man who was standing among the myrtle trees answered, these are they whom the Lord has sent to patrol the earth. And they answered the angel of the Lord who was standing among the myrtle trees and said, we have patrolled the earth, and behold, all the earth remains at rest. Likewise, angels, it said, carry out war with demonic forces. Daniel in chapter 10 and verse 13, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia. Likewise, Revelation 12, 7 and 8 says, now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. Likewise, an angel will bind or bound, depending on your eschatology, Satan. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain, and he seized the dragon, the ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and threw him into the pit, and shut it and sealed it over him, so that he might not deceive the nations any longer. With 1,000 years were ended, after that he must be released for a little while. So it's an angel that comes down and does this. And likewise, and an angel that will proclaim Christ's return. We've already said that Christ returns with a multitude of angels, but an angel will proclaim his return. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the cry of command and the voice of an archangel and the sound of the trumpet of God. Revelation 18, 1 through 2. After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was made bright with his glory. And he called out with a mighty voice, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place for demons and a haunt for every unclean spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean and detestable beast. Likewise, verse 21 of Revelation 18, then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, so will Babylon the great city be thrown down with violence and will be found no more. In Revelation 19, 17 and 18, then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and with a loud voice he called out to all the birds that fly directly overhead, come, gather for the great supper of God, to eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all men, both free and slave, both small and great. Lastly, we see that angels directly glorify God. One of the things that angels do is they glorify God. They worship God. We see that Psalm 103, 20. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Psalm 148, 2. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Isaiah 6, 2 through 3. We see that above the Lord stood the seraphim, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The same thing happens in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8. And in Luke chapter 2 and verse 14, at the birth of Jesus, glory to God in the highest, say the angels, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And Hebrews chapter 1 verse 6, and again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. They worship Jesus. And 1 Timothy 3:16, great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. Jesus was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up in glory. In 1 Timothy 5:21, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of the elect angels, I charge you to keep these rules without prejudging, doing nothing from partiality. So angels directly give glory to God. That angels carry out some of God's judgment. That angels bring messages to God's people, carrying out some of God's plans. That angels themselves are examples for us. That angels remind us of the unseen world, which is in the reality of it. And that angels demonstrate God's special plan for humans. These are some of the purposes that the Bible says that God has for the created world of angels.